Okay, good evening YouTube. Welcome to this next episode of FPL Family with me, Lee, and this is Sam. And Sam, you wait all season to get a win, and you finally get it, and you walk into the chairman's office the next day, you knock on his door and you say, "Hello, Mr. Chairman, we've finally won a game. Norwich City, having not won a game all season, I've finally won a game. What do I get? A pay rise. What do I get? A pat on the back. What do I get? A celebratory magnum of champagne." You get the sack, is what you get at Carrow Road. Absolutely out the door.
They're savage.
Savage from the Norwich board. Absolutely savage. There have been two big managerial casualties this weekend.
About three in a week.
Three in a week in the Premier League, which is...
What's happening?
I don't know what... These managers, they must fear the international break. Not only because it's their players going away and getting injuries, but the chairmen and these boards seem
the chairman
to think it's
are in
a,
it together.
There's a, what, do you think they're colluding?
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
I reckon last week, Daniel Levy got on the phone and he went, "Guys, I need you to do me a favour. I can't be the only savage chairman.
What's going on?
Can you get involved as well?" And then Delia down at Carrow was like, yeah, no problem, no problem.
Delia.
I'll sack him at the weekend. And then he phoned up Aston Villa and went, "You know, do you think you could part company with Dean Smith?" And they went, "Yeah, sure, no problem. But let's let him play first."
Just got this image of Farker walking into Delia's office da, da, saying, da. Just saying like, "Here we go, Delia, there's a win for you. Happy days." And she's just like, "Get out. Get out, you're fired." So Daniel Farker, guys, gone.
I mean, surely they must have decided on...
I would have thought so.
They must have decided pre the match, mustn't they? They must have gone in, maybe had a meeting on Friday and gone, "Right, over international break, we need to change things. Let's give him this match, but then at the end of it, we'll sack him and we'll go into international break, we'll find somebody else." Do you reckon there was a moment where they went, "Oh, God, this is a bit awkward, isn't it? Because he's won now."
Probably, yeah. Probably. And then, of course, that happens on, what was that, Saturday. And then late on Saturday evening, Dean Smith goes as well. Although he, off the back of, what, five or six defeats in a row, possibly, well, what did you think? Bit harsh for Dean Smith to go, given that he's, you know, he's kind of Villa through and through, isn't he? He's got them a fair old distance in recent times. He's just not got it going this year.
I feel a bit sorry for Dean Smith in all this, because
living in the real world. I'm not feeling that sorry for him.
Says the man with a Christmas tree up in his office.
No, but...
You're not living in the real world, are you? Look, the reality is that... I do feel a bit sorry for him. He's lost his best player in the summer. They've sold him.
Yeah.
They've given him money to buy new players. And he's gone out there and he's bought players. But it's only been 11 game weeks. Bailey's only made it through about three of them because he's been constantly injured. He's not really had... He's lost his key backroom staff in JT in terms of the defence.
Who, by the way, is in the running for next manager, John Terry. You see that? Some of the bookies odds, he's
what,
right up
Villa?
There. Yes, absolutely, he's right up
Savage,
there.
Savage, he's involved as well.
John Terry.
He's colluding with them all. What's happening?
Delia and John Terry
oh,
behind the scenes.
Man.
We shall sack our managers together.
Good grief. Look, all I know is that Dean Smith, last season, they had a good season. Like, I don't know, I feel like...
I don't feel that sorry for him. I don't. After his fancy football comments last season, I don't feel that sorry for him. I'm sorry, Dean Smith. You will not be missed.
I don't know. I feel like football's gone a bit harsh this week.
He's got loads.
Nuno gone.
Yeah, well,
Farker gone.
They needed to go.
Dean Smith
needed to go.
Gone. Well, and all of a sudden, I mean, who's next?
Well,
if you're Premier League manager right now, you're like looking over your shoulder, aren't you, thinking?
Well, who are these clubs going to get in then? I mean, John Terry linked with the Villa job is the one I've seen on Twitter, but I don't know who in their right mind would go to Norwich for the rest of this season. That is a funny one, because despite the win this weekend, that's a tough gig now, isn't it? You've got to go in there and resurrect this season out of nowhere. This is a Sam Allardyce job, isn't it?
Steve Bruce.
It's a Steve Bruce job.
Well, they keep people up.
They do? Yes,
no,
they
I don't know.
Yeah,
I mean, the reality is, surely the Norwich board are looking at it going, right, we've not got a lot of hope here, have we? So we need somebody to come in and just try.
Yeah.
You know, they're not going to get the blame if they go down.
Yeah. Well, meanwhile,
what?
Over in Manchester, Ollie still has a job.
He's at the wheel.
Ollie is still at the wheel, still has a job, which is quite incredible. And you'll notice on the graphic I've put here, Sam, for tonight's FPL family, João Cancelo, Ilkay Gundogan and Phil Foden, the Manchester City boys, were it not for David De Gea in that first half, could easily have been 3-4-5 goals to the good. David De Gea had a fantastic game.
Yes, he did.
Although
he was at fault. No, he was at fault.
Yeah, possibly for that second goal wasn't great. But you can forgive him that because he had such a good game. But the point remains, that is now, despite the victory against Spurs last weekend, which saw Nuno getting the sack, it's still not looking good for Manchester United. Although I don't want to spend too much time on it because I feel like I do a lot of Man United bashing on these streams lately.
Well, he's got to be next, surely.
You think so, wouldn't you? But we've been saying that for weeks, haven't we?
I mean, the problem is now, how can he be next? Because who would they get?
Mm.
I mean, he's got to compete. They've got to compete with Norwich now because Norwich needs a new manager. Villa needs a new manager.
And we haven't really had your reaction yet because we weren't here last week. I'd lost my voice last week.
Well, we haven't appointed Conte until Tuesday.
Well, yeah. I mean, I couldn't speak last week. So, guys, thanks for bearing with us last week. We couldn't be with you last week, but we're here this week. And I don't think we've really had your reaction to the whole Conte news, and we'll obviously get your thoughts on the game from the weekend a bit later on. But just general feeling about Conte, got to be pretty happy, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm slightly worried he might kill one of our players. He's told them already he will kill them if they don't play
well. He's a lunatic, but I love it.
I mean, it was the first interview we'd done. What happens if they don't? I'll kill them.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, Antonio.
All right then. But to be fair,
just see Skip with a little bit of poo comes out. He's just like, oh my God, this guy, seriously.
To be fair though, it's what they need. They need someone to come in and be like, man up!
Totally. Yeah, totally.
It's what we've needed all season.
Did we see it in the Did we see it in the game this week?
We saw a little bit of it in the first 25 minutes of the conference. I mean, I haven't watched the game. I just listened to it on the radio, obviously, today.
Against Vitesse.
Against Vitesse, we saw it in the first 25 minutes. I listened to the Everton game today because, of course, it wasn't televised in the UK.
Yeah.
So I listened to a bit of it today. I haven't watched it yet. I'll watch it tonight. I think there were moments. The problem is we've just been, you're never going to change something overnight. We've been, and we'll talk about it when we talk about the game more, but you're never going to make a blunt arrow sharp overnight. There you go.
What a crap analogy that is.
Couldn't think of anything better.
I can think, well, basically rolling a turd in glitter is Spurs at the minute, isn't it? I mean, that's what he's trying to do. That's what he's trying to do, isn't it?
All right, Delia.
You've got one or two.
Savage.
One or two decent players. But listen, he's,
one or two?
You've got one or two decent players.
One or two?
That's it.
Right.
There's not a lot else there, is there?
Wow.
Bless him. I don't think.
All right.
I honestly don't. He's worked with Conte, he's had centre midfielders. He's worked with Pirlo. He's worked with Fabregas. He's got Skip. He's got Højbjerg.
Oh, now. Don't you bring the Viking into this.
What, Højbjerg?
Don't you dare bring the Viking in. He was assaulted on the pitch today. He was assaulted by Mason Holgate today.
And what is all this crap I'm seeing at a Spurs social? I've seen him picking up awards at the stadium. Toby Alderweireld. He's hanging around like a bad smell, Toby Alderweireld. What's going on?
Just come back. They gave him a Rolex.
Why is he around? He's just got nowhere better to be. What's going on?
He was invited back to pick up his...
Why?
Well, because at the end of a season, when one of the big guys goes, they give him a prize, a present, like when Jan Vertonghen left, like a big guy goes.
Right.
But Toby didn't get his end of like his left thing because nobody was about, and it was real sad. So Daniel Levy invited him back. He went on the pitch to give a chat. I nearly cried, and then he gave him a Rolex, and I miss him. Oh, I miss him so much.
I tell you what, you could do with him back because He's a classic sort of Conte ball player centre half that Conte would love to have a Toby.
I mean, I wish they'd just put his boots on, send him out there.
Get back in, Toby.
Get me a Toby shirt. Oh, I miss that man.
Well, there we go, Sam. Let's say hello to a few people because we've got a few people in the live chat this evening. Daniel Henkel, thank you for the super chat. 70 points, he says, Sam, at 5.6k, which is my highest ever rank.
Daniel, very nice.
That is very good indeed, mate. Very, very good indeed. Ben is in the chat. He just says, oi, you leave Skip alone. Daniel Banks says, well, Lee, how many decent players did Liverpool have out today then? Well, we'll talk about us a bit later on, guys.
I'll dig you out a bit later.
Liverpool's first defeat of the season. Obviously, I'm not in a good mood because of that, but I will hand it to the Hammers. The Hammers were very, very good, particularly from set pieces. Very, very good indeed. And we'll talk more about West Ham a bit later on. If you are a Hammers fan and you're in the chat or you're watching the replay, get in the comments. I want to know, are you the real deal, Hammers? Up to third now.
Above you, aren't they?
Up to third. They've leapfrogged us, so we're down into fourth now.
Oh.
Really, really good from West Ham today. Really, really good. Finn McCann is in. Hi, Sam and Lee. Thank you for being great.
Is that what he says?
That's what he says. Bless you, Finn. Oh. Bless you, what a legend. Thank you, Finn. Very nice
Thank
to
you,
see
Finn.
You. Scott Schrager's in the OG, holding Scottish's league. Glad you're feeling better. I am feeling better, mate. Thank
it,
you very
well,
much.
It was until today.
Yeah, Liverpool thing's kind of knocked me back a little bit,
although,
mate, but I'm okay. I'm okay.
Morgan City being an absolute legend in the
FA
Cup.
How good was that? How good was that? Anybody that tuned in to BBC, to anybody that had enough of Liverpool West Ham, and frankly, you'd be mad to have turned it off because it was a great game, wasn't it, for the neutral. But if you had enough of Liverpool and West Ham, you could have tuned in to BBC Two live on the actual
Magic
TV. On
the
actual TV, Sam, we had our local club, St Albans City FC, who I think it was like a record attendance of about 3,500 today.
It was a sellout.
Record attendance, so
on
good.
On the black market, all sorts.
Under the lights, everything. And they beat. They
Pitch
beat
invasion.
Forest Green 3-2.
I've got so much time for it.
Proper magic of the cup stuff. St Albans are like 7th tier, guys. They're like 7th tier. I've played on that pitch, Clarence Park, a few times in my youth. I have played on Clarence Park a few times. Back in the day when my hamstrings worked, Sam, I was all right. And I played
no,
on Clarence Park.
Right.
I was all right.
Stop saying you were all right.
I wasn't good, but I was all right. I could play a bit. A bit.
You're Oxlade Chamberlain.
But I am better than Oxlade Chamberlain. That kid. Oh, my God. We'll talk about him a bit later on. I'm 3 times a player, Oxes. But, yeah, St Albans City through to the FA Cup.
Well done,
next
St
round.
City.
Love that. Got to love a bit of that. Liam Healy is in. How are we doing, Liam? Nice to see you. Green arrow in FPL to 180k. Big
well done,
red
Liam.
Arrow for Bristol City, though. Losing 3-2 with 10 men. Embarrassing. So not good for Bristol City, but very good.
Liam.
For Liam in FPL today, this weekend, mate. So well done. And John Tyner in with a super chat. How are we doing, John? Hey, guys. Already bought Gallagher for Grealish. I'll tell you what. There's a switch. If you'd have said in game week one, you're going to be switching Gallagher in for Grealish. That is a mental swap, isn't it? Mental. But I can see why you do it, John. Which goalkeeper should I get for Sanchez, Gaita or Ramsdale for a -4? Talk us through, Sam, the ramifications
just
for Robert
game.
Sanchez.
It is only one game.
Is he just out for one game?
Just out for game week 12.
Okay.
We presume
that is Steele going to come in?
We presume
gonna
that means that good old Jed's going to come in.
Right, okay. Jed Steele?
I think so, isn't it? Or is it Jed Steer?
It's Jed Steer. It's
What's
not Jed Steele.
Name?
I don't know, but it's not Jed.
It's Jed Steer, isn't it?
I don't know.
Yeah,
I actually don't know what his first name is. He's been sitting there on
Whatever.
My bench.
But he's
waiting
on my
for
bench,
his opportunity.
And
now he's a key differential.
I love that logic.
I'll be playing him next week.
Yeah, I mean, they do have Sherpin, also known as the tallest goalkeeper in the league.
Oh, right, okay,
if
good.
If you were at Fest, you'll remember that. It was him, it was Steele that was on the bench, so I'm presuming that he's going to play, obviously, keep an ear out on the press.
What's the answer to John's question, though? Best budget, if you're going to rage him out, Sanchez, and you haven't got a Steele to come in and you've got a problem, who are you going to get? Foster, Ramsdale? Who are you going to get?
Well, like both of them today.
It's probably Ramsdale right now, isn't it?
I mean, to be fair, I like the look of both of them today. I thought Foster had a good game as well. It's just a shame that Watford have got nothing in front of him to protect him. But yeah, Ramsdale is the most informed right now. Gaeta's got really nice fixtures though, so don't shy away from Crystal Palace.
Well, more on Palace later on, because Palace are starting to be worthy of more of our attention, I would suggest. They dismantled Wolves at the weekend. Really, really good game. And a few of their players, not least Mr. Gallagher, who's starting to look like a very, very good FPL player. Another Chelsea Academy graduate. What? This Chelsea Academy, just churning
them
out. They're so good.
What
so
do they good. Do there that no one else does?
Well, what they do in the Chelsea Academy, Sam, is they just buy every youngster going. And about 90% of them fail. But the law of averages says that 10% of them are good. And because they've got so many in their academy, because they loan them out, don't they? They bring all these, they just bring, it's law of averages. They bring so many youngsters into the Chelsea Academy, loan them all out, and then 90% of them are crap, but 10% of them are quite good. And Conor Gallagher is clearly quite good, as is Mr. Livramento, back in with another 6 this week. More
I'll
on him
tell you what,
a bit later on. Very
that
good.
That man.
You love him, don't you?
I love him. And quite frankly, I think I am a Christmas present.
I think we all do in FPL, don't we? He's the new Lord Lundstrom.
Do you think it's
it?
All right if I send a Christmas present to Southampton for him?
I think you send a present to Tino Livramento, Sam, down to St Mary's. See if it gets it. See if it makes its way to him. See if it gets there.
I am seriously thinking about it. I mean, thanks to him, I get 6 points every week. That's more than the rest of my team get.
It's
so
unbelievable.
I'm just going to send him a box of chocolates and say, "Dear Tino, thank you for ensuring I always have 6 points. I love you a lot."
He's great.
From FPL managers everywhere.
He's great. He's great. James Ward is here. How are we doing, James? Very nice to see you. Jack Gowans is here. 19 points on the bench. I'm not happy. Jack, I feel your pain, mate. There will be a lot of FPL managers with a lot of points on the bench this week. No doubt about it. PDM All-Star says, all aboard the Gallagher train. Yeah, well, listen, I think it's very much left the station. We've been talking about him for a few weeks, haven't we, Conor Gallagher? Right, yeah. But maybe now is the time to act with the fixtures coming up for Crystal Palace looking pretty good. Sam G is in, 62 points all out. Very good indeed. Good evening. Love your top picks and jammy pick content, Sam. Keep it going.
Thank you.
Thank you, Sam.
Sorry they were a bit late last week.
And Joe Finley Baddett is in and moderating. Good evening to everybody apart from Kevin Friend. Not loving the refereeing, Joe Finley Baddett, at the weekend. Love it. Absolutely love it.
I have so much time for Joe.
So here we go, Sam. Before we get to talk about the games, we have to say congratulations to Lucy Kemba. Congratulations, Lucy Kemba, who is our October Manager of the Month. Well done, Lucy. So Lucy won that month's October's competition with 278 points. Closely followed, Sam, by you in second place. Very good. Very good. Owed much to your 128 point game week a couple of game weeks ago.
Yeah, because last week I had a terrible week.
To be honest with you, I think your season is distinctly average. You've just had one amazing week. That's what's
honestly,
happened.
Honestly,
amazing week.
Every other week is rubbish.
Yeah.
Well, I've had one brilliant week and then a load of terrible ones.
Yeah, you've got away with it. You've had one proper jammy week.
Well, look,
and the rest has been crap.
There's no need for you to be so bitter about everything. There's no need.
What I will say, though, is well done to Aman Mengani, who came third, for you, Sam, who came second, and Lucy Kemba, our manager of the month.
You buy me a present for coming second?
For October. No, I'm not, but I have got Lucy a prize. Lucy has asked for the Champions 20 signed Liverpool shirt from KickingTheBalls.com, our sponsors, KickingTheBalls.com. Very similar to the shirt and the street signs that you can see behind us. So if you do want to take part in November's competition, it's not too late, guys. You can go and check out patreon.com/FPL family and go and check us out over there.
Lucy doing a video with you?
Do you know what? I haven't asked her. I'm going to, Lucy, if you're watching, let's get together on Slack and decide when we're going to do that video, if indeed you want to do the video. Because you're quite right, Sam. Every Manager of the Month monthly winner has the opportunity, if you want to, because I appreciate it, some people are just like, no.
Some people don't want to talk to you.
Just like, no, thanks. I don't really want to be on your YouTube channel. But some people do want to do it, and they do want to have a chat, and we put the video on the channel and talk about the month and what's coming up in FPL. So, Lucy, if you're up for doing that, would very much like to do that video.
If I'd have won, would you about to have done a video with me?
Interview you? If you'd have won, I think we'd have just scrapped it. I just deleted you out.
To be fair, whoever came second would have won.
Yes.
We cannot win.
You're not going to win a prize, no.
You would have had to buy me a prize.
No.
Absolutely, you would. Little Toby out of ear, I'd figure.
Not having it. So there we go, guys. If you do want to join us over on Patreon, it's not just the Manager of the Month tier. You can check us out on there. There's an Ohana tier as well. If you just want to drop by and say hi and thanks for the content and get a bonus podcast and some Slack access in return for that. And if you want to join us at the Zoom tier and have one-to-ones with us about your team or about football or, frankly, about anything you want, then you can join us at the $10 tier. So it's a really good time to join us at patreon.com/FPL family because we're at the beginning of the month. So if you do want to go check us out, want to say thanks for the work that we do here on FPL Family, feel free to check us out. So there we go.
And presumably, actually, it'll be a short Manager of the Month competition this month because we've got an international break.
I think it's like three or four game weeks.
This one.
Yeah.
And then two more.
I think it's probably right. Yeah, I think it's probably
21st
right.
And the 28th.
I think it's probably right.
Yeah.
Right, let's check out these games, Sam. Let's go to the games. And let's start by talking about the game, the monster game that we just watched on Sky Sports this afternoon. West Ham 3, Liverpool 2. I'll give my feel and my take on the game in a bit. But from your perspective, what did you think? Good game, right?
It was a really good game. I don't quite know what was up for Alisson today. He had a really awful game.
Not his best game.
And of course, when your goalkeeper has a bad game, it does have a knock-on impact on the rest of the team. Joking aside about you being Oxlade-Chamberlain, I thought he had one of the worst games of football I've watched in a very long time today.
On Ox standards, he was average.
But the problem I have with Oxlade-Chamberlain is he unbalances the rest of the Liverpool team when he plays. So I just didn't see... I thought Mane was equally poor, actually, today. A lot of the big names just didn't really seem to turn up today, and that's problematic when you're playing against a team as good as West Ham. You might have got away with it if you were playing against a lesser team, but West Ham are in really good form, and they had the momentum and the motivation today.
Thoughts on the decisions? Can't... Bless you. Any more?
No, I think that's it.
Just one?
I think so.
Excellent. Thoughts on the decisions? So the non-foul on Alisson for the West Ham first goal, and then the Creswell challenge as well. Thoughts on those?
Thought it wasn't a foul on the goalkeeper.
Right.
Thought Creswell should have been sent off.
Hmm. Seen those been given, haven't you, the Creswell ones? A bit high, a bit over the ball. I think if you could easily stop the foot... I mean, if you show the video, you kind of go, ooh, that's not very good. And then you can pick a couple of stills out from that video and go, ooh, that's really high and dangerous. So, yeah, you have seen him given, but for him not to get any punishment at all, I thought was a bit ludicrous, to be honest with you.
I mean, given it was a red card check, you would have thought that if it wasn't a red card, then it's at least a yellow card.
Can they do that?
What?
Can they do that? If they check it and they say, okay, it's not a red card, but it is a yellow, I'm going to give you a yellow.
Don't ask me. It's VAR. I have no idea. I don't know. All I know is that they say it's gone to VAR, and then 9 times out of 10, that means you lose some FPL points, and that works well for me.
Don't even go there. VAR's cost me so many FPL points this week. I'm not even going to go there. But you thought it was a foul on... it wasn't a foul on Alisson. You're happy that you just missed it.
I thought Alisson just missed it, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
I think Alisson's way too bothered about Antonio, who's next to him. And he's not paying much attention to what's happening in front of him. But then the defenders have got to do
better. You've seen him given, though, haven't you?
Yeah, but if it's given, it's really soft. I didn't think it deserved to be given, but I did think that Creswell should have got some punishment for that tackle.
One thing was for sure, that every time a set piece came in, Liverpool crapped it. It absolutely.
Yeah, what was that about?
Well, it's because West Ham are so good at it, right? They're tall, they're physical, they're great from set pieces. They've scored the most amount of goals of any team from set pieces.
But it's not like you've got a bad defence. That's what got me today. Is that normally the Liverpool defence is good, and then today it was like, I don't know. It wasn't even really like watching the Liverpool defence. I don't know what was up with Liverpool today, but you weren't on the best of form. And credit to West Ham because they took it to you, and they probably deserved to win it.
Mm. Yeah, no, they're a good side. West Ham absolutely deserved to be third and deserved to win the game today. It was just Liverpool, there were certain moments where we just didn't defend well and the goalkeeper didn't cover himself in glory, I agree. Mane had a couple of really big chances. I don't agree with you, I don't think he had a terrible game, but he did miss a couple of gilt-edged chances. There was one, I think,
at the end.
1-1, and then there was one right at the end. So he did miss a couple of reasonable XG chances.
Important ones as well.
Yeah, and I think West Ham, for you know, say what you want about the way that they approached the game, but actually when they were in front, they did a really good job of just sitting and soaking up the pressure and just going on the counter-attack. And they knew that if we were going to commit forward, that they would get spaces in behind. And they've got Antonio there as a key weapon to do that. Speaking about him in particular,
Antonio in particular,
that's now quite a few West Ham goals that have been scored over the last few weeks without any Antonio involvement. So West Ham are getting the goals, but he's not involved. You're an Antonio owner. I'm an Antonio owner. What are you doing?
Who else would you go to? Honestly,
that is true.
Forwards in the game.
That is true.
I look at them and the only thing I can think with Antonio is, just take the money out of him and drop him right down. But actually, West Ham are coming out of their difficult fixture run now.
Let's have a look at their fixtures going forward. The West Ham fixtures, there they are towards the bottom, but not right at the bottom. So Wolves away next. Then it's a trip to the Etihad, which is obviously difficult.
Yeah.
Brighton and Chelsea, which is obviously difficult. So they are to say the least, topsy-turvy.
And you know, I think every other game there, and even the Chelsea game... It's only really Man City that I wouldn't expect them to get much, but then they are that sort of team they're on the crest of a wave. They'll turn up, they'll play football. They could get goals against Man City. So I look at it and I think, look, Antonio, after that Chelsea game, the fixtures are really quite nice again. So in the longer term, I'm probably going to want him back. I've had him every game week. He's pretty much the only player that I've always had.
Yeah.
I don't really want to sell him because if I do, it's going to cost me a lot to bring him back in. And I know I'm going to want to bring him back in unless he gets injured. And West Ham are still scoring goals. This is the thing, isn't it? It's not like West Ham have stopped scoring goals and therefore you kind of question whether you should be invested at all.
And
they're attacking, they're scoring goals. He is their goal scorer. He will score goals.
And that is the reason I'm going to keep him, I think, is because there's some other reasons. I mean, I've got a lot of money invested in him. I got on him fairly early. So if I sold him, I would lose a fair amount of team value. So if I did want him back later in the season, I'd have to do it reluctantly through gritted teeth because I know I'd lost a lot of value in him. But you're right. It's not as if West Ham have gone crap. No. It's not as if the results are drying up. That, you know, Antonio's not getting any positions. You know, Fornals has gone off the boil and Bowen's rubbish. And we need to talk about Bowen in a second as well, by the way.
Grateful.
It's not as if West Ham are crap and suddenly I'm like, well, I've lost faith in this team and this asset. I think he's been a bit unlucky to not been amongst the points of the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, last game last week when he didn't... Was it last week he got nothing? I think it was.
Yeah, but he was assisting the assist a couple of times.
And actually in the game today, there were a couple of moments where I thought, you're going to get something here.
Yeah.
Be it an assist or a goal. So that's the thing is, if I was seeing him in all the wrong positions... If I was seeing West Ham dropping off the boil,
West Ham, they're great.
And genuinely, I look across the rest of the forwards in the game and I think there's nobody else I really want. Tony's not in good form. We can talk about them in a minute. I could go to Hwang, but I've got Jimenez. I don't really want the double up there. I don't see anyone better.
Jamie Tyler's in the chat. He's saying exactly the same thing. Jamie Taylor, thank you for the comment. I'll happily... Just keep Antonio. No one else stands out.
Mm.
And there's lots, and he's got lots of money in him. And do you know what? That's
it.
That is the key thing. If you look at the strikers, the forwards in FPL that scored this week, who are we talking about? Vidra? Pookie? Who else scored?
Pookie.
Yeah, I'm actually genuinely trying to think.
It wasn't really the forwards. It was a lot of the midfielders. And this is the thing, isn't it? We had this
the
period...
The premium strikers are not doing it.
No, we had this period of time, you know, where we were looking to invest in the premiums because we had players like Ronaldo and Lukaku and we were starting to think that that's where the money should go. But actually, at this precise moment in time, it's the total opposite. It's the midfielders. And even then, it's the value midfielders.
So go on then. Speaking of midfielders and speaking of value midfielders, it's a couple of them at West Ham. So amongst midfielders for BPS in game week 11, top of the shop, Fornals with 37, who actually, in the overall scheme of things, was third after Trent and Cancelo. So look really, really good. Great, great week for him. But then I think fourth on that list of midfielders with 30 is Bowen, who continues to tick over. FPL points week after week for this guy.
Really good.
Why are we not going there? Is it because we're all invested in Antonio and we think, well, West Ham double up doesn't quite feel like a comfortable place to be? And should we not be thinking that way? I mean, the fixtures don't really scream West Ham double up, do they? That's the problem.
No, they don't.
But Bowen is in great, great form.
He absolutely is. I think the other thing is that there is also a lot of other players who have potentially got better fixtures, who are also in good form.
Right.
Conor Gallagher, we've already mentioned. Like in that low enabling price bracket, Smith Rowe, Trossard. There's a load of them that are kind of playing really well at the moment. So you then question and you find yourself going, all right, well, do I want to have Antonio and Bowen when I could have Gallagher or I could have Smith Rowe and I could spread the risk?
I suppose.
I think that for me is why I'm not looking at Bowen. It's not because I don't think Bowen's really good, because I think he's playing brilliantly.
Okay. And another start for 3.9 defender Ben Johnson at the back.
But surely Soufal comes back in.
I guess Soufal comes back in. Yeah, I think so.
He must do.
A great job though. I mean, Ben Johnson being great for them at 3.9, but I think buying him is probably a risky buy, I would suggest, over the international break if you're looking at him. Liverpool then, from their part, a bit of a poor day at the office for them defensively, for sure, except your man Trent Alexander-Arnold popping up with what Trent does best, which is a direct free kick and a little jammy assist in the box. You've got to have him, haven't you? Any thoughts to get rid of Trent?
We sat in the green room at the FPL show on Thursday and we were talking to the producer about the script, and one of the questions was, should we sell Trent, but it was, is Trent still essential? And I was like, and I actually said, didn't I, is that even a question?
Mm.
Like, is that genuinely a question though? Surely Trent, you have to have him. And that game in a nutshell, for me, is why you have to have him. He's got the set piece threat. He's in the right
places.
Double
digit haul, even without a clean sheet.
Yeah. And most of the time, Liverpool will keep clean sheets because they are a quality defence usually. And Alisson's normally a really strong goalkeeper. So they've had an off day defensively. But even with their off day defensively, he's returned a double digit haul. And yes, he's 7.7 million. And yes, that's a lot of money. And yes, you could go with the Chelsea defenders for cheaper and you could go with the Man City defenders for cheaper. but I won't sell Trent for love nor money.
No, okay. And he's still posting decent stats, right? Second for crosses in the game week, second only to James Ward-Prowse for crosses, and top amongst all players in the game week for BPS with 39. So in that list where Fornals is third and João Cancelo in at number two, top for BPS, Alexander-Arnold. So, so good. So, so good. I will not be selling him unless he gets injured this season.
I agree.
Love him. Carl Vineyard. Thank you, Carl, for the super chat. Very nice to see you, Carl. Thank you for joining us here on FPL Family. Are Declan Rice and Zaha and Gallagher good options to bring in for game week 12, 13 and 14? Hashtag coys. Hashtag FPL. So let's talk about... in fact, before we talk about Crystal Palace... because I do want to talk about Zaha and Gallagher. Declan Rice, yes or no?
No.
No, I think those five midfield spots are just starting to look quite sacred, aren't they? I feel like if you want to take a punt up front, take it, because no one's performing. But those midfield slots are starting to look quite sacred, and I don't know if you want to go with Declan Rice on one of them. Zaha and Gallagher, we will talk about Palace next. Anything else to talk about from a Liverpool and West Ham perspective?
I'd like your opinion on Diego Jota.
Diego Jota, you got to keep him. Bobby Firmino's hamstring doesn't work. He's going to play. What I've noticed with Jota, and I noticed it middle of last season and didn't think too much of it, the guy can't do more than an hour. He can't do more than an hour. I don't know if it's his work rate. I don't know if there's something there in his underlying fitness. But there's a lot of rhetoric about, well, I don't want to get Jota because he always gets subbed off. Or, actually, I do want to get Jota because he gets something when he gets subbed on. And both of those things are true. But I've noticed he rarely does 90 minutes, Jota. And I don't know why it is. I don't know.
I'll tell you something.
But he looks goosed at 60-65, and he did today. And that's why Klopp bought him off, because all of a sudden, we stopped pressing from the front. And that's when West Ham come into the game and went 2-3-1, was because we stopped pressing as a team and it was easy to play through the lines. And he actually brought Divock Origi on. And you guys will know I'm not Divock Origi's biggest fan. I'm not Taki Minamino's biggest fan. But they had the legs that Diogo Jota didn't have. And all of a sudden we looked all right once they come on.
I'll tell you why I asked the question, honestly, is because I have no money, as we know, on my bench, and that's working out fine because I haven't needed them and it's just benching 6 points every week.
Yeah.
However, there is so much value in that midfield 5 to 6 million bracket, and I'd really like Conor Gallagher, and we can use this as a segue into answering that question.
Yeah.
But the only way to do it is to downgrade somebody, and I can't. I know every part of me knows I should just downgrade Harry Kane. Just can't bring myself to do it before this run of fixtures that we've got. I've at least got to give him Leeds with their woeful defence before I do it.
Yeah.
I can't do it yet. So Jota was the one I was looking at, kind of thinking, well, maybe I could take you down to one of the other performing five-ish players and that gives me enough to take Ollie Skip up. But...
don't sell him.
I don't think you can.
Don't sell him.
Yeah.
Don't sell him. And Tips is in, he's saying, I'm on a wild card. Should I have Jota? I think the answer's yes.
It sounds like it's quite a bad hamstring as well, didn't it, from what Klopp was saying?
Well, it's not only that, but it's Bobby Firmino's second hamstring. So what does that tell you? That tells you that they rushed him back. He came back too quickly last time, and it's a recurring injury. So what does that tell you from then on? I'm no doctor, but that says to me, you've got to be absolutely damn sure that when you bring him back for a third time, it is healed. So that does not,
He's not young either, is he, anymore?
No, he's 29, 30. So that does not, to me, suggest that he is going to be rushed back, I don't think, any time before Christmas.
Wow.
And I know that I love the rhetoric that you always bring out, the Bobby Firmino for Christmas. And maybe Bobby Firmino comes back for Christmas. But I think between now and the new year, Diogo Jota is going to be our number nine. And in a team that attacks in the way that we do. And yes, okay, West Ham, very good today. We struggled for creativity because of the way they defended.
Yeah.
And also defensively, we weren't very good. But we still scored two goals and we still created some chances. And Mane could have had a couple. Yeah. We are still the league's elite attacking machine, in my opinion. And we've already reeled out the rhetoric about Salah. If he scores, means nothing, right? Everyone's got him. So if you want a piece of that Liverpool attacking machine, you can do it one of two ways. You can have Diogo Jota, who's going to be all right for minutes between now and the new year, or you can have Sadio Mane that's going to cost you a lot more. Now, here's the kicker. If we don't expect Bobby Firmino to be back until Christmas, maybe the new year, what happens then for Liverpool? AFCON. So there's no Mane and there's no Salah. So Jota's going to get even more game time. So he's going to get plenty of minutes now between now and the end of January stroke February. He's not a sell, in my opinion. He's not a sell. I would hold. I would hold. So there we go. West Ham versus Liverpool. Great game. Enjoyed it, despite the defeat. Enjoyed it. It was a good game. Let's talk about Crystal Palace then, because we did say that we would segue into Conor Gallagher and others. A total dismantling of Wolves over the weekend. Really, really good, I thought. And Palace starting to look the real deal under Vieira. I have to say, I got this totally wrong. I thought they were going to have a really tough season. I thought Vieira was going to take time to get it right. But Wolves were just not in that game at all. Gallagher, Zaha was good. I thought your man Edouard up front was nice as well. He had, I think, three or four big chances that he possibly could have had some bonus points, some FPL points. It, at a time when we're struggling to fill those front three slots, is he maybe someone to have a look at as well? Maybe as a bit of an outside punt. But I want your thoughts on Conor Gallagher first, because he was the star of the show again.
Yeah, I really like him.
Good, isn't he?
Do you know, and it's interesting, isn't it? Because I thought, similar to you, that it might take Vieira a while. It took him a few games, didn't it? But it was that game against Spurs where they just completely undid us. Totally undid us.
Yeah.
In what was that, game week 4, I think?
Yeah.
And I remember watching that thinking, he's going to create something decent here. He's got a good team of young talent around him who are all eager and keen, and they're listening, and he's got a new style, and everything that needed to happen at Crystal Palace with the retirement of Hodgson and the mass exodus of like half the squad has been so beneficial to them right now. And Conor Gallagher started the season looking good, looked good from the very beginning, but just didn't have his finishing boots. But what we're starting to see over the last couple of weeks is that he's now found them.
And as he had a bit of a dip, didn't he, Conor Gallagher? But now he's kind of back again. But you can forgive him that, because how cheap is he? Well,
yeah.
I mean, what do you want from a player? Like, if he was a 9 or 10 million, we would all be saying, well, you can't have a dip at 10 million.
Our fixtures are so nice. Like,
yeah.
Crystal Palace have got really, really nice
fixtures.
Have a look.
I think you're right to raise them.
Oh, no, don't look at that.
That's next week. Crystal Palace, Burnley, Villa, who are all over the shop at the minute, Leeds, Man United and Everton. So there's some defences that they can absolutely get at.
100%. And you know, Conor Gallagher, alongside the likes of Zaha, who suddenly decided he wants to be a footballer again.
So what's your thoughts on that?
Well, you're not going there, because you can go Conor Gallagher. I don't think you're going to spend.
But why is Zaha suddenly decent?
Well,
and showing a bit of consistency.
Well, I mean, my opinion...
Is the transfer window opening against him?
No, don't. I don't think it's that. Genuinely, I don't.
No, I don't think it is either. I think it's the fact
that... I think
that
he's playing under a really good manager now. And he can see that there is... I think the problem with Zaha in the past is that Crystal Palace were very much stagnant. They were kind of treading water with Roy Hodgson, waiting for his retirement. Sorry, Roy. And they weren't really going anywhere. They never really signed anyone in the window. It was the same players year upon year upon year. And Zaha, I think, just sat there and thought, what on earth is happening with my life?
Yeah.
Whereas this season, all of the old wood has gone, the dead wood has gone, all of the management staff have gone. They've brought in a new manager who's young and ambitious, with drive, and that's inspiring all of these young players that he's now got around him. And Zaha is one of the older statesmen in that team. And
I think there's something in that,
He is like, oh, I'm being looked up to. And he, I honestly think it's been really good for him.
He spent a long time, Zaha, in his early days of his career, being the young talent, didn't he? In that Manchester United side and in other sides, he was the... You know, there's a bit of pressure on you to be the future.
Yeah.
Whereas now at Palace, that's not the message.
No.
There's other players now that are the future.
The pressure's on them.
Actually, Wilf, you've got to set the example for those guys. Mm. And you've got to take the pressure off of them in a way that no one ever took the pressure off of you. Possibly. I'm speculating. But I just think Vieira's come in there and he's changed Zaha's mentality a little bit. And he suddenly looks a daft decent player.
Looks happy. I think that's what I would
happier,
say.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
That's the thing I would say about
you know
Zaha.
What he's going to do? You get him in FPL and he'll get sent
and
off.
I'm not
rubbish,
buying him. He'll absolutely... Yeah. He will 100% troll me, because that's what Zaha does to me. However, I do watch him at the moment. I watch Crystal Palace and I think there's investment ability here from FPL, but it's Gallagher.
Yeah, I'm also keeping a keen eye on Eze as well. I know Eze's not back from injury yet, but I think when Eze comes back into that team, with him on one side and maybe Olise on the other, with Edouard up front, Gallagher and Zaha in there in the mix as well, that's all of a sudden it's there's some decent. Threat. There's some threat in that team. And one of the other players that I think is being overlooked, not one for FPL, but actually if you look in the Fantasy Football Scout members area, third highest for tackles in the game week is Koyate. Koyate making a big difference for Crystal Palace. So Vieira is getting it right. He is getting it right. Super chat from another one from Carl Vignard. Thank you, Carl. He says, which midfielders should I bring in after the international break? Well, listen, Carl, that's quite a broad, kind of wide arching question. And I think we'll try and answer it as we go through the live stream. One thing's for sure.
Conor Gallagher is very high on my list of priorities.
Conor Gallagher is going to be up there, I think, given that the fixtures look all right. My advice, as we always do here on FPL Family, I think, is to probably see out as much of the international break as you can before you bring in those players, because you never know what's going to happen. You never know. But from a Wolves perspective, are you worried? I mean, you're a Jimenez owner. Is a blank for him this week? Is that a problem, or how are you feeling about it?
No. I'm absolutely not worried about owning Jimenez. Again, it goes back to that whole conversation we've just had about Antonio and who else is available. The one thing I would say is that I am very keen to upgrade Ollie Skip, particularly now he's got his ban, because he's got 5 yellow cards.
Oh, I noticed that, yes.
Yeah, so particularly, and also, so before you all think I'm mental, I had Ollie Skip just because looking at my FPL team with no Spurs players in upset me. So on wildcard, he came in for that very reason. It's just there's a Spurs shirt in my team. But now...
Nice. Huh? Nice. I'd like you admit that.
I'll be honest. That's why. But now I am hopeful.
Yes.
God, that is the hope that kills you.
It's
isn't
the hope
that kills I'm you. Hopeful that things might turn around for the better at Spurs, and I don't want to be in a Simicast position again where I'm blocked from the third Spurs player I would like. So I would.
Hold on. You have 3 Spurs players.
Not yet. I said it was the hope that kills you, didn't Jesus. I? But I would like to not be in that position. So Ollie Skip up to Conor Gallagher is what I would really like to do.
Got the money to do that?
Yeah, of course not. So the only way to free up the money to do that, because you're telling me I can't sell Jota, which I agree with you, is to go Jimenez to Hwang.
Ooh, okay. Right.
There's not a lot of difference between Jimenez and Hwang at the moment.
Okay.
I hate the sidewaysness of it. I know I'll miss Jimenez.
Why don't you go Jimenez to Edouard?
I don't know. I've got to ponder over international.
We've got a long time to think about these things. Let's move on, Sam, because we're rapidly running out of time, as we always
are
do.
We? What time
we
is
always
it?
Do this. Let's talk about the Manchester derby then, in brief then. So Manchester United 0, Man City 2. It could have been more. You're sitting there with Phil Foden. No returns for Foden for a change, actually, because he does tend to put them in. But that is a couple of blanks now for Phil. In a row. Any concerns?
Nah.
No.
It's Man City, isn't it?
Do you know what? I looked at that game, and obviously we watched the game. I watched it on Match of the Day. And actually, even more than I have done in recent weeks, I feel like I want Foden in, actually. I feel like I want Foden in. Because he is still... I know that he was playing left rather than more central in this game, but I still felt he was a threat. I still feel like he's the one that's going to make a difference.
He seems to be the one that Pep trusts as well. He's the one that seems to be regularly starting.
Feels like.
Yeah, I don't have any concerns about Phil Foden. I don't want to sell him.
Okay, top for touches in the opponent's half, Sam, this game week, across the whole game, which player had the most touches in the opposition's half?
If you're going to tell me it was Cancelo.
It was João Cancelo. And also second overall for BPS, only to Trent. 38 for João Cancelo. He is a player with 2 assists and a double-digit haul. He's one you've got to be thinking about getting in, haven't you? The whole Pep roulette rhetoric that used to come with this guy is gone, isn't it?
Oh, God, look, the fact that I haven't got him has got absolutely zero to do with roulette. And it's got everything to do with the fact that everything else was going wrong. And I was like, I've got to deal with this and I've got to deal with that. And it always meant that Man City defence slipped. It kept slipping down the priority list.
Yeah.
But he was always in the back of my mind that I wanted a City defender. And over the last couple of weeks, I have actually got away with it because the clean sheets have gone. Now, going into this week, I wrongly thought that Manchester United might at least try.
What have you seen from Manchester United that suggests that?
It was a derby at home. The Manchester derby at home...
Did you not think City were going to win this comfortably?
Yes, but yeah, I thought Manchester United might at least come out and Ronaldo might get a consolation goal at, because...
He tried his best, Ronaldo, didn't he?
Because it's Ronaldo,
he had moments.
Yeah.
He had moments, which is part of the problem.
And Ronaldo does have moments, in it, you know. So I looked at this game and thought, do I want to invest in the City defence now, in this moment? And the answer was probably not.
So going forward then, let's have a look at the City fixtures to see whether you fancy getting in on Cancelo after this game week. So the City fixtures is Everton at home up next. A couple of home games against Everton at West Ham. Then it's Villa and Watford away, which should really hold no fear for them, followed by Wolves at home. So there's five fixtures that I will be very happy to hold on to João Cancelo. Mm. The guy's just got five assists in a week, because I don't know if you noticed, but he got three in the Champions League as well. So here's a guy that is absolutely bang on form. Top for touches in the opponent's half, top for BPS, two assists here, three assists there. It's the sort of FPL form that he's been promising for some time. And actually last season he did the same thing. He ticked over, ticked over, ticked over, then he got a big haul. So here's a guy who's got a pretty low floor, but also a pretty high ceiling as well. I don't want to put him in the essential bracket because I don't think anyone in FPL should be in the essential bracket, but he's bloody close. He's bloody close. What a player this guy is. Really, really good in FPL. Really good. So I'll be holding on to him. And with that run coming up that I've just mentioned, despite the West Ham game at home, obviously, based on what we saw today, that's going to be a difficult game. I feel like I still feel a bit underinvested in Man City. And I have to say, a move for Phil Foden over the international break might be the move I make. It might be the one I make. Let's see, what else, well, anything else to say about this game? Anything to say about Manchester United? We're not investing in Manchester United, are we, right now?
They were woeful. That's all I've got to say.
I don't think, it's really not good.
Honestly, I thought Luke Shaw, what has happened to him? It's like he's been kidnapped and replaced by a fake. He's awful.
Yeah, but he's not, though. And I keep coming back to this. It is the way that they are coached. Luke Shaw was one of the best in the league last season. He's one of the best for England in the summer. Same with Maguire. They're just coached badly. I'm not going to go over it because we did it to death when we beat them 5-0.
Let's see what they do over international break.
It's the same. I don't know. I have to say, I get the feeling that Woodward is just waiting to go. Because, you know, so Ed Woodward is going to go, isn't he? I think December. The United fans can tell me when exact date of that. But over the next few weeks, Woodward is out of there. Now, when this new the Woodward replacement comes in, one of the first things he probably is going to do is get rid of Ollie, I think. Because Woodward gave Ollie a new 3-year contract, didn't he? So there's no way Woodward, with weeks left on his Man United agreement before he retires or whatever, moves on from Man U, sacks the guy that he's just given a 3-year contract to. Oh, what sort of message does that send out? I think he's on borrowed time, and I think the new Ed Woodward comes in and sacks him immediately before Christmas.
Sacks before
there
Christmas.
There's a prediction for you. Anyway, let's move on. I don't want to talk
who?
About Manu because,
who
well,
are you gonna get?
I think they're late to the boat because Antonio Conte would have been perfect for them.
No,
he'd
have killed people.
He's a top elite manager and he would have got a tune
kill them
out of them Manchester United players. Another club, well, they are looking for a manager now, Aston Villa, looking, to be honest with you, all over the shop. But Southampton, again, another clean sheet for Saints and Livramento. Really looking, you know, if not full of goals, Southampton, they are looking organised. They're looking like a well-drilled unit. They know what they're doing. Everyone knows their position and what they're supposed to be doing in the game. And they, I wouldn't say it was a dominant performance against Aston Villa, but I wouldn't say that the win was ever under a lot of threat, would you? I mean,
they didn't really ever look like, I mean, Aston Villa had some opportunities, but they never really looked like they were going to score. They kept getting into the right places. And
second
then,
half, they had a bit of a rocket at half-time. I think
they were getting in the right places, but it never really went on target. They were never really challenging the keeper. They were, like, Watkins had a few, didn't he, in and around the box. And I thought, surely one of these is going to go in. And nothing ever came of it. So, I don't know. I think the good thing for Aston Villa is they have got some really decent players. And depending upon who they get, they should be able to recover this.
Okay.
Because they've got the talent to do that. They've got decent players, and it sounds as if Dean Smith had just lost the dressing room.
I'd like to talk more about Southampton though, because the Southampton fixtures are still not too bad. It's Norwich up next, so there's a game where you can play Tino, right? Liverpool away, obviously going to be a difficult game. Leicester and Brighton at home, followed by Arsenal away. So actually, I'm wrong, actually. The fixtures don't look quite as good as I thought they would. We're coming out of that really nice period for Southampton. But Norwich up next. Do those fixtures, or does anything about Southampton make you want to invest more in them? Does Armstrong scoring at the weekend make you want to invest in him? Are you seeing anything in Broya, maybe?
It's difficult, isn't it? Because there's obviously Broya, there's Armstrong, there's Adams. It's hard to pick one. I do like Armstrong the most. Excuse me, of all three of them.
He took his goal very well against Aston Villa, I have to say.
I was impressed with him. I thought he played really well.
And I like the attitude, because last game week, he missed an absolute hatful, didn't he? He did so many misses, so wasteful. And the rhetoric was, God, this guy's no good. And then within minutes of this game kicking off, he's thrashed one in. So good.
Yeah.
But then never really went on to look like he might get a double-digit haul. But then he's not that expensive in FPL, so what do you expect? One goal is probably okay. You can accept that.
Well, that's the thing. I think he's, what, 5.8 million?
Sounds about
think,
right.
Something like
sounds
that.
Sounds about right.
And so the reality is, if you're going to go with a 5.8, yes, you could go Hwang, yes, you could go Edouard. But you could also go Armstrong and accept that, you know, if you're getting a 5.8 million forward, then that probably means you've got really good five in your midfield. And therefore, he's on your bench most weeks anyway.
He was top for BPS amongst forwards for the game week with 32.
There you go.
That says a lot about the state of forwards in FPL right now, because you've got Al Armstrong up there, top of that list. Then it's Pukki. Then it's Origi. Then it's Vidra and Rodriguez and Che Adams.
I mean, that tells you a lot. If it's Origi, who's only on the pitch for what? 20 minutes?
Yeah, and it's not until you get to, what is that? 2, 4, 6. The seventh person on that list is a premium. It's Kane in it with 11 BPS. So
11.
The top five or six for forwards amongst BPS this game week in FPL is honestly, there is not a lot.
But it's the same.
There really isn't.
If you look back last week. And it's not changing. So the reality of the matter for me, anyway, is that having somebody in at 5.8, you can happily bench them without any issues, and it enables the five midfielders, which is where all of the FPL points are coming from right now.
Okay. Speaking of premium assets that are misfiring, what happened to Jamie Vardy again this weekend? Leeds won, Leicester won.
Purple Pesh is done.
Another VAR controversy that's cost me points this week. I saw on Twitter Vardy. Yeah, get your little violin out. I saw the Vardy assist flash up. I thought, yes, here we go. Finally, some points from Vardy. But there he is, you know, 3 weeks on from binning off Lukaku and bringing in Vardy. I feel quite lucky that Kane's done nothing as well, because that's looking like a shocking decision now, that Lukaku to Vardy.
Oh, yeah, but Lukaku Kane's to Vardy. Very shocking.
But Lukaku to Kane was also shocking. So I actually don't know. When Lukaku got that injury and we all got rid of him, I don't really know who was the right forward to go to at that stage. Well, it wasn't Aubameyang either, because he's missing penalties. I genuinely couldn't tell you. Probably Pukki, maybe. I just don't know. Anyway, I cannot wait to get rid of Vardy out of my team.
The thing is,
I cannot wait.
But haven't we seen it with Vardy for the last 20 years? That's an exaggeration. But for the last at least couple of FPL seasons, he's brilliant, he's brilliant, he's brilliant, and all of a sudden it stops. And you have to be...
But why has this happened?
Well, probably because you bought him.
What is it? He's got to be the change of system, isn't it? Rodgers does not know what his best system is or his best team at the minute. They went back to the three today, had Harvey Barnes in there, Iheanacho goes to the bench. There's no consistency.
It happened last
time. He doesn't know what he's doing in that team.
Yeah, you might be right, but it happened last year as well. And we had this big period of time where he did nothing. And then all of a sudden the purple patch will start again. And with Vardy, he is one of those players that you have to get on and off at the right moment. And if you do that successfully, it's hugely beneficial to you. But if you're not on him at the right moment, and you're on him like you are now in this lull period, he is deeply frustrating.
Yeah, well, let's have a look at the fixtures going forward to see whether we want to hold on to Vardy. It's Chelsea up next, which I don't want him for that. But it's then Watford, Southampton, Villa and Newcastle. Therein lies the issue. If I can hold Vardy through that Chelsea game and wait for 13. The fixtures don't look quite so bad after that.
What are you seeing?
I'm not seeing anything in the last 3 weeks.
That makes you think he can score against the legend that is Ben Foster. Who's he got next? After Watford?
Then it's Southampton, who we've
just
discussed.
Won't score against them. They're all right. Tino to the rescue. Who's next?
Then it's Villa and Newcastle.
Well, Villa will have new manager bounce by then. Newcastle have had Eddie Howe in by then. I tell you what, here's a shout. I don't think Vardy scores in the next 5 weeks.
All right, smarty pants. Well, if I was going to go from Vardy to Harry Kane...
No, don't do that.
It's not something that I want to do either. Talk to me about your performance today then, the Spurs. The first game under Antonio Conte. I guess the good news is there's a clean sheet.
Look, we didn't lose the game.
Okay, that's good, yes.
I'm quite happy with that.
Yes.
We've started the season with Conte again, with a win in the conference. My God, what a game that was. And a draw. I'm sort of all right with that because this is the first time that defensively we looked all right. We looked okay. I haven't watched it. I've listened to it. But from what I was listening to, Royale and Reguilón were doing the right thing. There was one moment where Reguilón put the ball in and Royale should have finished it.
Yeah.
Nothing's...
So the Conte system...
Is there.
Is there. He's playing his system. He's just got... players that he probably would rather not have. But he's playing the system.
I mean, he's got Ben Davis playing in there, which is not ideal.
That's a problem.
He did bring Tanganga on towards the... So the reality is, we have got Reguilón and Royale in the right positions. So I think that bodes well for FPL if you do want to go there, because the fixtures for Spurs are taking a turn now. So if you want to go with one of them, you absolutely can do that. Up top, well, we need to start actually...
You haven't had a shot on target for like 3 weeks, have you?
3.5 hours, I think it is.
What is going on with that?
I don't know. I mean, we're awful going forward. Harry Kane is useless. And Son does his best, but at the end of the day, he's playing with a muppet. So
here's my problem. If I look at the fixtures, and you guys can see them on screen now, Spurs are top of the ticker. Leeds, Burnley, Brentford, Norwich, Brighton. In any other universe, it's Kane and Son, and maybe a treble up. You go all in on that, don't you? But right now, with 3.5 hours, no shot on target, I watched Match of the Day 2 tonight and I'll see how you got on, but I'm not...
We hit the post twice.
Do I want to dive in on Son based on what I've seen?
Hit the post twice and neither of them were Kane or Son. Which tells you also something. I said this, I don't know who I was talking to, some of the guys in the Slack. I do genuinely think that Lucas or Moura offers you something. At 6.4 million in FPL, I think he offers you something where you can work with it and you don't have to invest in the premiums with Kane and Son. I do think you can go with Reguilón and Royale and you might get something out of that because defensively, we did look better today. But I have real concerns. Now, the problem I have, you don't have this problem because you're not yet invested. The problem I have is I've got a £12.1 million premium striker who's got 2-2-2 since I brought him in.
Yeah.
But look at the fixtures. How can I, knowing that in game week 12, you and I and the children are going to be sitting in the stands at the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium for Conte's first home
match
in the Premier
League?
No, I can't. How can I?
Of course you are.
Lee, I can't.
You're going. That's your rule.
I mean, it is the rule. And Ollie Skipper can't captain because he's been banned.
You're captaining Ollie Skip anyway. What are you talking about? Whether he's banned or not.
Choice. So basically, I've got to put... the dilemma I have is, on paper, those fixtures, if Spurs are ever going to hit a shot on target and score goals,
Leeds
this is the moment. So how can I sell Harry Kane now?
The one thing I will say is that, you know, Conte's had... He's had no time with the team, has he? He's had no time on the training pitch. He's come straight in...
Well, he only got his visa on Thursday afternoon.
Yeah, but straight into a Europa League game, straight into a Premier League game. He's had no time. So here we are. He's got 2 weeks to work with the squad. Now, a lot of that squad's going to be away. I understand that. But he's at least got 2 weeks to work with those that are going to be there. And I wonder whether that might just... help coming into that Leeds game for him to impress upon the squad a bit more of the intensity. I wouldn't want to be a Spurs player for the next couple of weeks because Conte is going to be running those drills. He's going to get them fit in the next couple of weeks.
Did you hear his comments about Dele Alli?
What?
He basically came out and said, I want to give him a chance, but he's got to buck his ideas up and work hard.
Honestly.
And over international break, could you see him working, like, so he's going to have players like Lucas Moura and Dele Alli, and he's going to have, like, all of those kind of peripheral, not Lucas Moura's not peripheral.
Squad players.
But he's going to have the squad players. They're the ones that have got to be pushing. They've got to be making the Spurs squad better. And he could be in that moment. And if Kane can go away and have a successful couple of games with England and goodness, England have got the fixtures to
San
do
Marino
that.
San Marino and
well, exactly.
Andorra, haven't we
got? So we've got the fixtures for him to go away and have a successful couple of games, score some goals, smile a bit, you know, just feel a bit more chipper about life, Harry, and then come back to a squad that's a bit fitter and a bit more, hopefully not killed, but, you know, a bit more engaged.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm clutching. No, maybe there's hope.
I don't think you're clutching because I think he's come into the club and he's got to be looking at these first two games, this Vitesse and Everton. He's got to be looking at that thinking, right, I've got to get through these. And then I've got 2 weeks and he's going to settle in himself. And then they've got to be looking at that run of five and going, right, this is it now, boys. We've got Vitesse and Everton was a bit of a, I'm here and we've just got to get through that. And to be fair, you've not lost either one. So it's fine, right?
No, we won both.
So now he's got 2 weeks with the squad. He's going to go into that Leeds game and go, right, from now on, these next five, I'm going to target out of 15 points.
15.
12, whatever, right?
No, he'll kill people. It'll be 15, he'll target.
Whatever, right?
But the reality is that this is the moment. And so as a Harry Kane owner or a Sun owner, depending upon which way you're already invested, if you are, you can't get off. The bigger question is, if you're not a Sun owner or a Kane owner like yourself, do you get on?
Yeah. And that is...
And that's a conundrum.
That is going to be the biggest point for me to think about over
How
international break.
How would you get on?
Well, the problem I've got, the thing at the moment is I'm actually leaning towards Kane more than I am Son. And the reason I'm leaning towards Kane is more to do with the game right now, the FPL game. And the reason I say that is because there is nothing to pick up front. There is nothing to pick up front. We've got no options outside of possibly Antonio, who we're only all sticking with because he ain't scoring any goals, but he's just in a team that is, so we're going to stick with him. Who else are you going to have? Whereas in midfield, I could easily pick, as you've already said, about that sort of 5-6 bracket, the 6-7 Rafinha bracket, even the 7-8 bracket. There's plenty of players there. Havertz even scored this weekend. And then, of course, you've got to have Salah as well. I'm going to keep Jota, as I've already mentioned. I'm not unhappy having Rafinha.
Smith Rowe.
So I've got Saka. So could I go sideways to Smith Rowe? Maybe, but I'll probably keep Saka. So in my midfield, I'm okay. But up front, I'm like, well, who do I pick? And I want Vardy out of my squad as quickly as possible.
You've got 2 million?
So I have in the bank, yeah. So I could do Vardy to Kane. I probably am a bit shy money-wise. I probably have to do it for a hit.
You just want to go and sing.
I don't. No, I don't want him in my team. This is the thing. I don't want Kane in my team. I think he's too expensive for a player that, frankly, I'm not going to captain. I'm not captaining him in any of those games over Salah.
Who's Salah got next?
It doesn't matter. It's Salah against Kane. You're not going to captain Kane over Salah right now. I don't think. FPL tips. How are we doing, mate? He's saying, cracking me up. On wildcard, surely Sonny in. Well, if you're on a wildcard, I guess, tips. Yeah, I guess. But I'm interested to hear your thoughts in what I've just said, which is, I think, if you're on a wildcard, there's a very decent 5 midfield you could pick without Son. But that forward three, who are you picking? I just don't know. Who are you picking? It's very difficult in the game right now, in FPL. Very difficult to know. Everton, what are we saying? Everton. Not a lot to say from this game, is there? I don't think. Not firing on all cylinders, to say the least, Everton.
No, I mean, they defended quite well. They stopped us having any shots on target. Pickford was all right. But I don't think you're investing. I mean, that's another blank for the likes of Townsend and... Gray.
Yeah.
It's still no Dominic Calvert-Lewin back. They were better than they were against Wolves, but that says more about how terrible they were against Wolves than that they were good against Spurs today. I think. I haven't yet obviously watched the game back. Just listened to it. My opinion is there isn't really anybody at Everton that I would want to own right now.
No.
Because we've talked before about that midfield. I don't want to go through it again, but there are a number of big players in that midfield that would be better than the Everton ones right now.
All right, let's talk about the shock result from the weekend, in my opinion, which was Brentford losing at home to Norwich, which was quite phenomenal. And everyone has, I say everyone, but there was a lot of FPL managers, me included, that started invested in Brian and Bomo and in Tony. Some FPL managers got them both. And actually, it was Delia's boys. It was the outgoing Daniel Farker that got the win at the Brentford Community Stadium. So what are we saying about that? It's incredible, right?
Is it?
Yes. Why did you say it like that?
Okay, here's my why I didn't get in Bombo.
Go on.
Speech.
Yeah.
I fancied Norwich to get something from this game.
How and why?
Because Norwich would have looked at the calendar, Farker, not realising he was about to get the sack, would have looked at it and gone, we have to win some games. Newly promoted side, like us, who we know how to play against, who have lost, honestly, I think, their most important player in Raya. Because whilst...
And the lad at the back, the centre-half, Aya. Is it how you pronounce his name?
Or something like that, isn't it? For me, what's happened since Raya has been out is not just about the clean sheet ability anymore. It's not about him defensively particularly. It's about the fact that his outballs were the reason why they were so good going forward.
His distribution was underrated as a goalkeeper. 100%. Yes, I agree.
And so without Raya in the team, the distribution levels have dropped significantly.
From those deeper areas.
As a result of that, what they are doing moving forward is taking longer. It's harder work because it's not coming from the goalkeeper anymore. It's having to come from the back. So it's just taking time to build through. Now, Norwich will have looked at that and gone, we can get past the new goalkeeper because he hasn't yet kept a clean sheet. And this is a team that we know and we understand the strategy and the tactics that they play because we played against them last year. So this game did not shock me. Maybe shocked me that Norwich won. I thought they might get a draw. Moving forward, I have some concerns about Brentford because Mbomo, okay, did score this time. I mean, he's the most unlucky person in the world, isn't he? He's hit the post 6 times. He's now had a goal ruled out for VAR.
Yeah.
He is cheap enough that it's fine to own him, but I don't think you want the double up with Tony. Even
what are we saying about Tony? I've never seen a player
so hit and miss, isn't he?
No, he's just miss and miss. Yeah, he's not. He's not hit and miss. He's not scoring goals.
But we had a period at the beginning of the season where he was really good, and we were all kind of like, we got off of him, and then he had that game against.
Is he a bit overhyped?
Was it Wolves? Well, I think also
have we in FPL overhyped him? Is what I mean.
Maybe. But the thing is, he's cheap. Well, ish
not
cheap.
That.
He's ish cheap. At that point where, you know, fixtures are nice, 6-ish million, I think.
It's 6.5, isn't it? Yeah,
I don't know. And I don't know. Look, I worry about Brentford without their goalkeeper.
He's that influential, you reckon? He's that influential. I must admit, I'm not...
I was glad I went Smith Rowe instead, let's put it that way.
Yeah, I'm not gagging to get on Tony. I saw the clamour for him for this game, and I understood it, guys. I understood it because of the opposition. And by the way, they have Newcastle next, right? So you're not selling him, by any stretch of the imagination.
No.
Nor are you selling Brian Mbeumo ahead of Newcastle. But
Eddie Howe's Newcastle, by the sounds of it, might be.
Yes, quite possibly. Yeah, quite possibly. But I don't, you know, I hadn't seen enough from Tony over the course of this season to think, I must get him for those two games. But in the end, I got Mbeumo last week, mainly because I felt like those two games, they're going to get some goals, Brentford, and I want in on those goals, but I don't feel like I want to get both of them. So I'll get the cheaper one, and I didn't want Gray anyway, so got rid of him, got him Brian Mbeumo in, and in the end, he was a bit unlucky not to get a goal, as you've suggested. But Tony, I'm not sure whether is it the step up to the Premier League? Is it the fact that actually in the Championship, if you've got a bit of physicality about you and you're a good finisher, you're way above everybody else in the Championship. But in the Premier League, every defender is as physical as you. Every defender is as good a player as you.
Mm.
And you need a bit of something else. You need a bit of pace as well. And I'm not sure he's the quickest in the world, Tony. He's no slouch, but he's just not got that turn of pace that, say, an Antonio has, right? Antonio is physical and he's a great finisher, but he also... Defenders think, oh my God, if he gets the wrong side of me, I'm in trouble.
Yeah.
Whereas I think if Tony gets the wrong side of defenders, they can recover. And I don't think he's got quite the fear factor that someone like an Antonio has. I might be doing him a bit of a disservice, guys. You can tell me in the chat, tell me what you think in the comments. Tony, not quite cutting it at the moment. At the moment in the Premier League.
Wouldn't surprise me to see some new manager bounce for Newcastle
next week. Quite possibly. Then final game we'll discuss before we talk about our teams. Chelsea 1, Burnley 1. So obviously doubled up on Chelsea defence, as many of you guys are. I had Chilwell and Rudiger. So although I was, as a Liverpool fan, pleased to see Chelsea drop a couple of points at home to Burnley, it had an impact on my FPL team because both Rudiger and Chilwell missed out on the clean sheets.
It's the thing I hate about the defensive double up.
It is. Yes, it is. But if you were going to double up on any defence, the Chelsea one looks like a good one to double up on.
It does.
having said that, I still feel like I'm on the wrong... I've got two Chelsea defenders and I still haven't got the right one, because the right one is Reece James, isn't it? If you haven't got Reece James right now, he's one to target. I would have thought. You haven't got him, right?
No, and I still wouldn't get him. I'd go Chilwell.
Oh, why?
I would 100... If I was going to go...
Why?
Because if I was going to go for the double up, I'd go Chilwell. For...
Oh, goodness me.
I said this on the Q&A with Az
Reece
the other
James
day.
Is a beast in FPL right now.
Yes, he absolutely is a beast in FPL right now. But I really like everything Chilwell does. Every time I watch him, I like him. I think he's got just as much potential to score goals as Reece James has.
Okay.
The thing that swings it for me, because that puts them level. In my mind, they're level pegging. If they both always got 90 minutes, they'd be level pegging. In fact, if they both played 8 out of 10 games, they'd be level.
Mm.
However, it's the fact that sometimes Reece James misses a game and comes on for 10 minutes, but Chilwell never does that.
Mm.
And Chilwell, with Alonso absent,
makes
him nailed. Okay. And that's why I would go with him.
All right. What about having them both with Tino Livramento there to cover you should one not play?
But, and I do think they are the team to double up if you're going to go with the double up. But the one thing I would say is that, you know, you're going to want a Manchester City defender. You're going to want Trent. You're going to want a Chelsea defender. You've got Livramento. You could. There are going to be other clubs out there that you could invest in defensively. Arsenal, you can invest in defensively right now. Maybe Spurs. Let's see what happens over the next couple of weeks. But you could potentially go there, particularly if you're looking at Royale or Reguilón because of the attacking threat. I just wonder whether there might be somebody else that appears in that other place.
Interesting. All right. Well, one of the moves I'm going to consider over the international break is a sideways move from Rudiger to James, because I think James is that good. He is that good. And he's such a beast when he plays.
You got 2 moves for international break?
Have I got what, sorry?
2 moves.
No, 1 move over the international break. And it could still be that, because Reece James is so, so good at the minute. I love him. And I just think he's an absolute monster in FPL. So he's one that I'm absolutely considering. No time, Sam, to talk about the Saka points that I should have had for Arsenal versus Watford. I can see you guys in the chat. Lee doesn't want to talk about the points that Saka should have had in that game. Yes, by the letter of the law, he's offside. But goodness me,
Saka,
come on.
Mbomo,
please,
Vardy.
Can I have some points? Please, can I have some points? How many points did I have VAR'd out this week? Saka, Mbomo, Vardy... Loads.
You know, you don't...
Absolutely loads.
It is okay to not get quite so bitter.
It's not. FPL is all about getting bitter, Sam. It's all about getting bitter. So here we are. This is my team for the game week. I'm on 57 points, which is all right. A rank change of plus 14%.
Nice.
Up to 477k. I'm making very slow increments. This is like my fourth or fifth green arrow in a row.
Nice.
After I had the absolute disaster of a wild card a few weeks back, and by the way, that seems to be a bit of a common theme. I've noticed
everyone
that.
Everyone seems to be having a bad
Whenever the wild card gets played, tips, careful next week, mate, because whenever the wild card gets played, people seem to have a shocker. And I did the same. I played the wild card, had the worst game week I've had in absolutely years, and I'm just slowly recovering from that. But this is my fourth or fifth green arrow in a row. My team is pretty template. I understand that. My team is pretty template. So my gains are only going to be marginal. But goodness me. What could have been this week? What could have been? Robert Sanchez, forget about it, right? It is what it is. I'll play Steele for a couple of weeks, no problem.
It's only one.
But Rudiger and Chilwell, the double Chelsea defence, that was differential for me against you. And Vidra scores. Saka, differential for me against you. And he gets ruled out for VAR. Mbomo, differential for me against you. Gets ruled out for VAR. Vardy, the same. So all of my differentials against you had points ruled out for VAR this week.
There.
Absolutely getting on my nerves like you wouldn't believe. However, some of the better picks that I'm making, like Cancelo coming in for me, was really good. Benching Livramento again was a disaster. But then I look at my back line and actually it could have been so different. Had that Vidra goal not gone in, I think Chilwell was on for 2 bonus points. So I could have been looking at 12, 14, 6 and 8. And actually then... Livramento is the right defender to bench, unless I was going to go 5 at the back, which I was never really going to do. So there's my team. I'm up to 684 points. I'm making very slow incremental gains. I wish I could have a game week like you on 128 points and go flying up 600 places, but that's not how this season's panning out for me. I'm making slow incremental gains. So 477 is still not where I want to be, but equally, I'm not having any shockers. In my game weeks, I'm not having any shockers. So for me... The key is now,
I wasn't having any show.
Over the next couple of weeks, how do I turn this largely looking template team and pick a couple of players in there that should they return, I'm going to get a bit more of a rank increase. But this week could have been it. It could have been it. If Saka's goal stands, if Mbombo's goal stands, those are two key players. Saka in particular, so frustrating this week because of that. And also a couple of weeks ago, he missed one. He's a sitter, didn't he? He missed a sitter. And actually, had I picked Emil Smith Rowe 3 weeks ago rather than Saka, this is the fine lines we're talking about in FPL right now. These are the fine lines because actually Smith Rowe has gone on to do pretty well. So there we go. Another small incremental gain up to 477. Let's talk about your team. 48 points this week. 225k now. So another red arrow, couple in a row. Down 37%.
They're always red. Apart from one ridiculous green.
What are we saying about this team? Because that's the tale of your season. You've had, I think, a pretty an average to poor season. But you've just had one ridiculous game week. You have. That's how it's been.
Known. Tell me I'm wrong. Anybody.
Tell me I'm wrong.
As bitter and twisted as you are.
Tell me I'm wrong.
I'm not, like, honestly, I tell you every week I've had a bad week. Honestly, I've never known you get so upset and bitter about it. Today, when that Saka goal got ruled out, oh, well, that's just my life at the moment, isn't
what
it?
What did I say to you when that got ruled out?
And then
I said to you, when that got ruled out, I said, this will be 1-0 Smith Rowe now.
And then his friend come over. I was sitting there watching it. And then Smith Rowe scored. And he just looked at me. And I thought, if looks could kill, I'd have been dead.
I couldn't deal with that Arsenal game today. I couldn't deal with it. I could not deal with it. Not only did the clean sheet come in, so well done Ramsdale and Ben White owners, but that's fair, right? Home to Watford.
What are you saying? That Smith Rowe's points aren't fair?
It's home to Watford. It's okay. But Smith Rowe popping up with the winner in a game where he did largely nothing and Saka had one ruled out for VR.
No, stop it now. Don't be bitter and twisted. There's no need for it.
There's a lot of salt emojis in the chat, guys. And you're right, I'm very salty. But this is just the
you
way the cookie crumbles.
You need to calm down. What's that song? About calming down?
I don't know.
You need to not be so upset.
Tell me
about
I'm wrong,
things.
Though. You've had one good week in 11.
That's not
it
true.
Just happened that it was an amazing week. It was just the best week you've
had
in years.
I've had some other green arrows. I haven't just had red arrows.
Oh, man.
I mean, if I'd just had red arrows, I'd have been at 600 million and then I'd have come back.
Talk us through your week. Come on.
It was distinctly rubbish. Yeah. However, it's,
it wasn't that rubbish. It's fine. It's not.
It
terrible.
Was above average, I think. Sanchez, whatever. Again, at the back, I played Tino. See, there you are. Oh, sorry, Mike people. I've just bashed you. Pod people. Not Mike people.
You paid Livramento, yes. But even if you'd benched him, he'd have come on. Because that's, you know, that's how it works.
Nobody comes off my bench. I don't understand where this saltiness is coming from. You need to calm down. Take a breath. Enjoy.
Yes,
I
go on.
You need international break.
I do. I do need a bit of
You need international break to stop being so bitter. Livramento, legend. Trent, I actually was pleased with my backline. Rudiger is what it is. You know, in some ways, I was quite pleased with the Chelsea clean sheet went because most people have to double up, so whatever. Smith Rowe was a great transfer in, given I was nearly going to go Mbombo, so that was a good decision. Salah,
how are you at 225k when your defence has got Williams, Semedo, and Rudiger in it?
What's wrong with Rudiger?
It's so
You've
safe.
You've got Rudiger.
So safe and boring, and I want to get rid of him for James. You're not going James. You haven't got Kancha. How are you doing well here? I don't understand. In fact, I do understand. 128 points. That game week will live long in the memory. That's saving your season right now, I'd go as far as to say.
You are so bitter and twisted. You're getting yourself all stressed. It's all so unnecessary.
Let's talk about next week's teams then. Well, this is your team as it looks right now for game week 12 with that horror defence in place.
What? What's wrong with the defence for next week?
What are you looking? How are you looking for next week? What sort of moves are you looking at? I can notice in your bus team you have got Harry Kane captain.
Yeah, I have, yeah. Because I'm going, aren't I?
Wow. Harry Kane captain home to Leeds. Goodness me. In fact, I fancy Rafinha even more so in that game. With no skip, Rafinha will cause... He'll do some damage in between the lines, I think.
Conte's going to send Ndombele out to kill.
Is he? Right. Right.
I don't think he's going away on international duty, so he'll be around killing people.
You've got to stop with this killing. It's not...
But that's what Conte said!
Yeah, but I don't like it. Stop with the rhetoric. I don't like it.
Just get my violin
out. Go on.
What am I going to do? probably going to free up some money.
Yeah.
From Jimenez.
Oh. Right. Okay.
Probably. Don't know who. I don't know who I'll go to. I just make a decision last.
Why are you not selling Semedo?
Yeah, I will sell.
Oh,
Semedo.
Right. Okay.
But I need some money. I've got no money.
Right.
Unless you want to lend me some.
I haven't got any myself.
So, because I've got Kane, I've got nothing in the bank.
Yeah.
So, Jimenez down to free up some money, and then the decision will need to be made as to who gets the upgrade first. I've got two frees. So, either Skippy gets an upgrade straight away.
God, Lord.
Or...
Speaking of Skippy, FPL Dare in the chat, by the way. How are we doing? Nice to see you. Did you like that little link?
Because he's from Australia?
Yeah. Do you like that?
I bet he's heard it before.
Yeah, he's like, what
he's
an original
like,
joke.
Oh, God, they're please making funny
nice
jokes.
Nice to see you, FPL there.
Nice to see you. You frame me now. So either Skippy is going to get an upgrade. I want him to be Conor Gallagher.
Right,
so
I like that move.
That's
yes.
What I want to do. Skip to Conor Gallagher, I want to happen. I am tempted by a -4, depending on what happens over international break, to make Semedo Royale.
Your love for Spurs is absolutely unreal. What are you seeing from that game today that makes you want to have Kane, Royale and possibly Skip treble up?
Well, no, I wouldn't have Skip, would I? Oh, it would be the double up. But I also do quite fancy the idea of having an Arsenal defender in there. So Ben White, potentially, or maybe Sanchez to Ramsdale, but I hate keeper transfers. So probably might go for Ben White. Instead, it's a bit cheaper.
Don't fancy playing Williams next week? Saints not exactly scoring tons of goals.
Well, Williams is suddenly by... Again, it's going to depend on who they bring in, isn't it? New right, manager, okay. Who's he going to play? What formations they're going to go in? Williams has played the last couple, so, you know, maybe.
Okay, and you've got your differential in goal Steele's going to play. As Way! Have I. He's going to play for me. So
what's his actual name? Can't just call him Steele.
You just can't call it. You can't call him Jed. Yeah, you can't call him
Jed. I'll just look it up.
So my team, just while you do that, is in reasonable shape. So my Liverpool players are going to...
Jason,
of course it is Jason still. So my Liverpool players are staying. Rafinha are fancy away at Spurs with no Skip in there to protect the back four. Brian and Bomo...
You can't say that. You're going to be there. You can't sit in the Spurs stadium...
And hope for Rafinha points. Of course
Rafinha
I can.
Points. Oh, shush, you can't.
Of course I can. I'll be sitting amongst the Spurs fans and Rafinha will belt one in the top corner and I'll be getting. Get in. Come on. Come on.
We're going to the shop before that game.
So Salah, Jota, Rafinha, all good. Brian and Bomo, who for some reason has got the vice-captaincy.
What have you vice-captained Dan Bomo for?
I don't know. I think it's just an auto-pick. I doubt if he'll be
How
my vice-captain.
How can it be an auto-pick?
I doubt he'll be my vice-captain come game week 12. But away at Newcastle, I've got him for those two fixtures, so I'll be playing him for sure. Livramento and Cancelo and Chilwell all at the back, all good, no problem. Still, Jason will come in for a game or two. So it's up front that I'm looking. It's up front because Antonio, careful with you've got your hair on the microphone. You'll be subduing the sound. Antonio,
I'm just looking at your bench
for all the reasons we mentioned before. I'm absolutely cool with keeping Antonio away at Wolves. It's Vardy. That's my big decision over the international break. Is I don't really like Chelsea, but I don't really like Vardy for the Chelsea game. But after that, the fixtures don't look too bad. So what do I do? Do I accept that he's just rubbish now? And no matter what the fixtures look like after Chelsea, I want to sell him anyway. Or do I downgrade him to somebody? I don't know anybody, because frankly, there's no forwards that I really like. I might downgrade him to Broja, to be honest with you, given that they've got a nice fixture. Downgrade Vardy and then use the money to get Son in midfield, maybe for Saka. But again, that would be for a hit. So I'm not wed to anything yet. I'm going to see how the international break pans out. I'm going to see who gets injured, see who comes back, all the rest of it. I won't be getting Kane. I'm almost certain I won't be getting Kane.
You just said you prefer Kane to Son.
No, I said that the way that the game, FPL, is panning out and the dearth of forwards that are out there, Kane seems like it might be enforced upon me rather than the move I would want to make.
Kane is never enforced
if I was going
you.
For Spurs,
Kane
which
is a
would
decision
be
that you make for, with your heart and with love.
No, I think if you said to me, you know, don't worry, put all the other FPL stuff aside, Lee, would you have Kane or Son? I'd go Son. Without a doubt. I'd still have Son. I still think he's the one to have. But in my team, where do I see the biggest problem? Where's my weakness? And I think probably somewhere in my forward line is the weakness. Probably Vardy. Probably farting. But there we go. There's how our teams are shaping up for game week 12, guys. Lots of FPL, not FPL action.
Oh, you're going to ask me some questions now, and I haven't got the answers.
International action to happen over the next 2 weeks. Sam, I'm going to ask you the question. Have you prepared it? What are we up to this week?
Don't
any official FPL
on,
show
hang on,
or
hang
official FPL podcast?
Just feel,
stuff.
Feel for a second. Just feel for seeing or something. For
no,
a second.
We're going to have awkward silence while you.
God. Hang on.
Having not prepared to answer this question
what?
For the
I hate that you answered
week
me.
In a
I mean,
row.
The reality is that I did prepare last week and I knew the answers. But the reality is that you are also capable of knowing when you're doing things. It shouldn't always be me.
I ask you the same question every week and you don't know what we're doing.
We're not doing anything.
After all that, jeez. After all that, oh my God. All right, so guys...
But the second week of international break, we are back. Because we might not be here next Sunday, because we don't often in the middle of an international break.
I doubt if we will
It's also
be here
our
next
daughter's
week.
Birthday next weekend, so we might
yes.
be a bit busy.
So we might have another break next week.
So
but...
the first week of international break, no official show or podcast. The second week of international break...
Yes.
You'll find...
Coming back for game week 12.
You'll find Lee on the podcast.